Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Trade agreements lock in high U.S. tariffs. It's Christmas retail in July with holiday sales projections. And Karnataka tea vendors halt sales in a GST protest. Plus, the science of sip. Sidian Kaufman brings a rare clarity to the chemistry of water and its deep connection to taste, especially in tea. Quote, a water molecule is like a tiny magnet, he explains, pulling apart other molecules, including tannins and polyphenols in tea. As a solvent, water doesn't just carry H2O, but a host of dissolved minerals, trace metals, and hydrogen ions that directly shape a tea's flavor, aroma, and mouthfeel. Kaufman, CEO at Pure Water Northwest, helps people make better science-backed decisions about their water, combining technical expertise with practical solutions. Whether addressing London's hard water or Seattle's softer profiles, he emphasizes the importance of consistency and control, often recommending reverse osmosis systems to optimize the brewing experience. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
The U.S. imports half of the tea exported annually by Japan. 6 months ago, suppliers under the U.S.-Japan trade agreement paid duties of 3.2%. Now they will pay 15%. Japanese trade negotiators this week, facing a 25% tariff effective August 1st, said they were relieved that duties will increase only fivefold. China, Japan, Vietnam, Indonesia, India, Sri Lanka, and many other tea-producing nations are facing tariff escalations, discriminatory access, and tariff lock-in through bilateral and regional trade agreements, which have reshaped tea competitiveness by origin. As the August 1st enforcement deadline nears, tariffs now determine market access and pricing power rather than quality or efficiency. Gone are the most favored nation MFN tariff rates under the World Trade Organization standard. Japan is a case study in preferential access. A century ago, Japan supplied nearly all the green tea that many American tea drinkers had favored since the 1700s. China was a minor supplier. Tariffs favored China during the pre-World War II years when the country was allied with the United States. After the war, Japan tea regained popularity, and by 2021, the U.S. was once again Japan's most important export market. During this period, the MFN rate for green tea was cut from 6.4 to 3.2%. Japanese black tea entered the U.S. market duty-free. Likewise, Kenya benefited from the African Growth and Opportunity Act, a trade agreement enacted in 2000 that offers duty-free access to the U.S. market for designated sub-Saharan African communities. The aim is to replace aid with trade and promote investment between the U.S. and eligible African nations. AGOA expires in September. In April, U.S. President Trump announced a 10% baseline tariff along with higher reciprocal duties of 20 to 50% on dozens of tea-producing countries. Japan's valuable auto trade provided leverage, allowing the country to negotiate a reduction to 15%. In contrast, Sri Lanka, the world's second largest tea exporter by value in 2024, a country that exported $1.4 billion worth of tea and enjoyed most favored nation status, now faces a 30% tariff. Sri Lanka has no bilateral trade deal with the U.S. and has no preferential access, making its tea less competitive in U.S. retail channels compared to duty-free or low-duty competitors, including Kenya, which is ranked number 3 for exports globally, and India, which is urgently negotiating a bilateral agreement to lower 27% tariffs that will take effect next week. Business Insight. Tariffs now determine market share. The myth of uniform free trade in tea is over. A tariff hierarchy has emerged, rewarding countries with access to free trade agreements and penalizing those in disfavor due to trade deficits with the U.S., or unfavorable geopolitical alignments. Without strategic intervention and a change in policy, tea from high tariff nations will continue to lose ground in major consumer markets. The National Retail Federation projects that U.S. holiday sales in November and December 2025 will be around $994 billion, a 3.9% increase from the 2024 holiday season. Total U.S. retail sales, excluding cars, gas stations, and food services, are expected to reach $5.42 trillion to $5.5 trillion in 2025, representing a 2.7 to 3.7% increase above the estimated $5.29 trillion reported in 2024. Consumer spending on prepared food and beverages is projected to reach $921 billion compared to $895 billion in 2024. Quick service restaurants are leading the growth and are expected to account for $324 billion of the total. Projections for U.S. food service sales overall are modest, but sales of drinking places rose by 6.6% through June, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, quote, suggesting a positive trend for the holiday season, end quote. Deloitte projects an overall growth rate of between 2% and 3% in the food service sector. Consumer sentiment is mixed. While 2024's holiday spending stayed solid, confidence remains subdued due to inflation and tariffs. Key indicators suggest that cautious consumers are focused on value, driven by strong digital and mobile channels. Retailers are advised to emphasize value positioning, as discount formats are overperforming with heavy investment in digital innovation and multi-channel. Premium and health-focused segments, including herbal, functional, and specialty teas, lead holiday demand. Retailers are advised to target gift packaging, subscriptions, and online exclusive promotions during Black Friday. U.S. retail sales of tea online continue to surge, E-commerce and non-store sales are estimated to be between $1.47 and $1.57 trillion, representing a 7 to 9% increase, according to the Retail Foundation. U.S. retail sales of tea online continue to surge. Allied Market Research estimates a market value of $5 billion in 2025 for tea, growing at a robust rate of 12% through 2033 globally. The surge is fueled by convenience, demand for specialty teas, direct-to-consumer branding, tea gifting, and subscription boxes. Projections align with the National Retail Federation's forecast, which indicate that online and non-store sales will continue to outperform overall retail, accounting for approximately 30% of total retail spending in 2025. Tea Journey editor Bobby Patel reports that small bakeries and local shops across the southern Indian state of Karnataka suspended sales of tea, coffee, and milk on July 23rd in protest against a goods and services tax notice from the Commercial Tax Department. Wearing black badges, traders participated in a one-day protest, switching to cash-only sales and posting no UPI signs, highlighting what they claim is the unfair targeting of small-scale vendors. India's Commercial Tax Department recently issued notices to small and micro businesses across the country, including many tea shops, triggered by high transaction volumes through the Unified Payments Interface, UPI, India's digital payment system. The GST registration threshold is 40 lakh per year for goods and 20 lakhs per year for services. Many shops received notices after digital payments exceeded these limits. Trader associations claim that UPI transactions are being misinterpreted, leading to excessive tax demands. They demanded the withdrawal of notices and a relaxation of enforcement for small businesses, warning of intensified protests if their concerns remain unaddressed. Business Insight. During the first quarter of 2025, South India's tea production was 24 million kilograms, a 14.4% decrease compared to the same period in 2024. Tea exports from South India declined by 5% in fiscal year 2024-25 to 97 million kilograms, down from 102 million kilos in the preceding fiscal year. However, the value of tea exports in terms of price per kilogram from across India has increased to 290 rupees, reflecting a 12.6% rise over the 258 rupees in the 2023-24 fiscal year. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
Sidian Kaufman brings a rare clarity to the chemistry of water and its deep connection to taste, especially in tea. Quote, "A water molecule is like a tiny magnet," he explains, pulling apart other molecules, including tannins and polyphenols in tea. As a solvent, water doesn't just carry H2O, but a host of dissolved minerals, trace metals, and hydrogen ions that directly shape a tea's flavor, aroma, and mouthfeel. Kaufman, CEO at Pure Water Northwest, helps people make better science-backed decisions about their water, combining technical expertise with practical solutions. Whether addressing London's hard water or Seattle's softer profiles, he emphasizes the importance of consistency and control, often recommending reverse osmosis systems to optimize the brewing experience. Hoffman has been with Pure Water Northwest since 2019. What sets him apart is his ability to demystify water treatment, exploring fringe topics such as structured or hydrogenated water, while also addressing challenges like industrial runoff, high iron levels, arsenic, and bacterial contamination. He is certified by the Water Quality Association as a water treatment representative and holds a degree from North Seattle College. Quote, "Water clarity," he says, "should mean more than just how it looks. It should mean transparency about its true contents and impact," end quote. First of all, welcome to the T-Biz podcast, and thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Will you explain briefly the importance of water quality and the role it plays in tasting tea?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, a water molecule is kind of like a tiny little magnet. You know, it's got a north pole and it's a south pole. And what that does then is it actually pulls apart or dissolves other molecules that also have similar charges in it. And that happens in tea. So it's polar, which makes it a solvent. And basically a solvent is anything that can dissolve things inside of it. So water is made up of not just H2O, but whatever minerals are in the water or whatever the pH level of the water is, which has to do with dissolved hydrogen, or whatever other trace contaminants are in the water, like metals or chlorine. All of that can affect taste. It can affect flavor, mouthfeel. It will alter how it actually pulls out the things from the tea, like the tannins and the polyphenols. And then the other things that you're trying to pull out of tea, like the caffeine. Caffeine would be an example of something you want to be pulling out. Catechins, flavonoids, and amino acids. All of that stuff is trapped inside tea like a little treasure vault. And the only way to like pull that into the water is by dissolving it into it from the polar attraction that the water molecule has. But if the water is not clean, there are other things that are bound to that positive or negative charge in the water molecule. And it actually does a worse job pulling out the stuff from the tea leaves. And you can also get tastes in the water from before, things like chlorine, heavy metals can create a taste. Dissolved minerals and hardness can bind with the same thing that the tea would bind with and affect mouthfeel or flavor. So water quality has a dramatic effect on the end result of your tea.
You're passionate about it. You love what you're doing. Talk to us a little bit about what made you so crazy about water.
I was in property management, actually, and a tenant came to me with water that was brown and smelled like rotten eggs. And so, you know, I went to the owner and the owner said to get it tested. This was 7 years ago. I had never done anything with water 7 years ago. And I took it to the lab. The lab did a test and it came back, "This is healthy." I was like, how can this brown, gross water be healthy? And that lab person didn't have an answer for me. So I went and I found Chris Pelton, who founded Pure Water Northwest, the company that I now co-own. And he explained to me that the EPA has two different standards for drinking water. They have a maximum contaminant level or a legal level, and then they have a maximum contaminant goal level, or MCLG, and the goal level is the health level. So the health level standard and the legal level standard are not the same. You can have water that's legal, but does not meet the health standard, which surprised me. But also looking deeper into that, I learned that there's stuff that's not technically unhealthy for you to drink, but can affect your skin and hair. I really got into Pure Water Northwest and into water when my daughter had kind of an eczema on her skin. She would have nummular eczema, like circles of dry skin. And putting the softener in the house solved it. I don't know that eczema solved for everyone with a softener. I'm not saying that, but it solved it for her. And so I just got really interested in water, like really excited. Became an owner of Pure Water Northwest, and I've just been studying and focusing on this. And I've learned that people just assume water is really simple, like I did. They think it's wet and drinkable. but the truth is, water is a very complex chemical environment. And when you realize that, you understand that you can't just trust other people to deliver the water to you that you want. So if you're fine with any water, then it's fine to do nothing. But if you really want good water, you can't trust a municipality who are really doing the best job they can to just deliver you the water that you want. You have to really know what's in the water or work with an expert like myself or someone like in our industry to help clarify for you what your water is. And if it's not the way you want, have us work with you to help you make it that way. What frustrates a lot of people is the idea that when water looks clear and has no smell to it, is it still clean? And if they learn that it's not, they're like, what? I've been drinking this water this whole time. That's not. I've had customers who have two parts per million of arsenic and in their water, which is extraordinarily high. And the water is crystal clear and tastes good. You don't know that until you actually do a test. So one of the most frustrating things can be the fact that the what you visually see in water does not mean that it is perfect water. And that honestly, we've had kind of bad looking water that has a little tint to it, which is really only got a tint because of naturally occurring tannins in the groundwater. And the water is actually pretty healthy. So the reality is, we like to say test, don't guess.
In tea blending, professionals must tailor formulations based on where the tea will be brewed, as the type of water used, hard or soft, makes a significant difference. Brands often offer hard water or soft water versions because achieving consistent taste depends on the water chemistry. A tea that tastes perfect in store, brewed with reverse osmosis water, may taste off at home if the local tap water doesn't match that quality. It's not that the tea or brewing method is wrong. It's that the blend wasn't designed for that water profile.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what you just said made me realize when you think of tea drinkers, right, a lot of people think of England. In London, England, they have really hard water. And so I would imagine that regionally, they are using teas that are bolder. They are using teas that are stronger and can punch through that taste, or they're modifying the tea so that it can work with harder water so that the polyphenols are not like being trapped by the hardness, or it doesn't mute the smell. Northern England, they have lower mineral content. They have softer water generally. I would imagine the teas up there are going to be different, which I find very interesting, because if you then want to have a very consistent, very nice cup of tea, treating your water with reverse osmosis in your home, just an under-counter reverse osmosis, might be a really nice way to get your tea exactly where you want it and have it be consistent every single time.
One of the things that tea and coffee connoisseurs do before brewing is remove all the components from water, then add back specific amounts of calcium, magnesium, zinc, and flavor components.
People who are making coffee and tea, they want a little bit of minerals in their water because it actually helps to release some of the flavors. And so reverse osmosis water, that's about as clean a water as you can get. Distilled water is pretty close to. They don't do exactly the same thing, but you can get water ultra, ultra pure. And then sometimes it tastes good, especially if you run it through carbon, and sometimes it doesn't. It kind of depends on your flavor profile. But if you're making tea, some teas, or you're making certain types of espresso, it may not make the perfect cup. So sometimes you add, you may, if you're trying to get that perfect cup, you may actually be adding some minerals back in, some calcium, some zinc, or magnesium possibly. And then you can get that perfect cup that way.
Sidian, will you highlight some unique aspects of tea, like how loose leaf can filter out potentially harmful metals and molecules? Can you also discuss nanoplastics a bit?
Tea itself is interesting because it also can bind to elements through what's called adsorption, which is kind of like sticking to it like Velcro. And that can pull in things like lead or cadmium. I mean, those are positively charged ions, strongly positively charged ions. And the surface of the tea, like tannins, they're generally negatively charged sites. If you have water that has some of those metals in it, tea can actually do the work of making the water a little bit cleaner, which is really kind of cool. Like if you're not doing reverse osmosis water and you're using your tea on water that is not perfectly clean, it actually can help a little bit in making that water have a little less lead in it or things like that. So the interesting thing, though, when we're talking about water quality and the detoxification of tea, though, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If you're using tea bags, depending on what they are, those can sometimes release microplastics in the water or nanoplastics. So, you know, tea is like a giver. It's giving flavor and hormone and color and aroma, and it's amazing. It can also bind some of the heavy metals to it. But if it's not loose leaf, it is possible for some of those to add in microplastics or nanoplastics into your water, but not as much as you would get from, say, drinking a single bottle of water in a plastic bottle you get from the store. Those can have over 200,000 little particles of microplastics in them. So one of the best ways you can try and have the purest tea would be a reverse osmosis system, and then adding in the minerals back that you want that work best for your tea, then steeping your tea in that with loose leaf. That is how you're going to get the ideal cup.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.